Welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast, where we help coaches intentionally and effectively use sports to transform lives.
I coach to change their lives and that they can know that they can make mistakes and they learn from those mistakes because they have a coach that's made mistakes and I've learned from my mistakes.
Hey, hello, and welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast. It's great to have you with us. I am Ryan Kraskowski, joined by my friend and colleague, Alec Lemon, and it is Coach of the Year season and here in the spring of 2024, and we are joined today by one of the finalists for KC Metro Male Coach of the Year, Coach Gerald Long. And Coach Long, it's great to have you with us today, and I'm going to kick it over to Alec, and we'll get the discussion rolling.
Good to be here.
Gerald, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We'd like to get to know you a little better and let the audience get to know you better through just sharing a little bit about your early sports experiences and your first experiences coaching.
Sure. I've been playing baseball, football, basketball, probably starting in the second or third grade. Actually did some coaching in college with an elementary team. I was asked to coach a fifth grade boys basketball team, so I got started very early in my coaching, even during my playing days, still a little bit of coaching while I was in college. Participated in football, basketball, track, baseball growing up. Settled on football and basketball in my high school days and then played basketball at a small school in college. So that's kind of my playing experience. And then coaching, I've been coaching, you know, a little bit since even in college while playing, and then teaching and coaching at the middle school level for 31 years, and then at the high school level for 2 years.
Yeah, what are some experiences kind of in the all those years like that have been influential for you, kind of in developing as a coach or just your love for sports?
Yeah, I've had a great opportunity to be under some great coaches. In high school, I was under a great football coach, Bob Von Stein, that taught me a lot about the game, the importance of hard work and developing a work ethic in all of us, importance of teamwork and cooperation, loving each other. You know, there were many of us that we played high school football together where we weren't, you know, always, we weren't the same. Some were, had a little bit more money. Some had less money. Some did these certain things on the weekends and you didn't always hang out on the weekends together. But when you were on the football field, you were brothers. And that's one thing that he instilled in us is you love the guy next to you and you protect each other and you take care of each other. So Coach Von Stein was a big influence on me early, but even my younger coaches, even going back before that, flag football, a coach named Gerald Butler that just made you love the game. He was passionate about it. He took care of my brother and I. He drafted. We had a draft even back in the third grade. And I can remember him saying in front of everybody, I want Jim and Gerald Long. And I think the truth is he wanted Jim Long, and Gerald Long was just the brother that kind of came along with the package. But he made you feel special. He made the game fun. Practices were fun. It wasn't anything that you begrudgingly went to. You just loved hanging out with the guy. So he was kind of my early experience with a coach. And then my brother Jeff, I need to give a lot of credit to. He coached me in basketball early on and made practices fun. Probably gave me my first early experience, which kind of helped me as a dad later on, where he didn't treat me any better or any worse than any other kids on the team. I was treated as an equal, and coming from a brother, that was a good example for me to see early on. And I didn't even realize it then, but that's had a big impact on me and my coaching later on, that being fair to kids is very important. And I had the opportunity to coach all five of my kids, and it was very important to me to not show favoritism to them, but to treat them as equals with their teammates. And I think that that helped them get along much better with their classmates and teammates and so forth down the road. So those were two of my early experiences with coaching. And then my middle school coach, Tom Fenton, very good coach with the X's and O's, and taught me a lot about the game of football and basketball. And then when I got into college, I had Coach Schneeberger my first year in college, who was a good man, and my brother had played underneath him in college. But then my sophomore year, we had a coaching change, and you know, I thought, oh boy, you know, I'm not going to get a play under the man that had such a big influence on my older brother Jeff. But then when Coach Miller stepped in, I didn't think there could be a step up. So I get a little emotional talking about these guys sometimes because they had a big influence on me. But Coach Miller was definitely my father figure. My dad passed away when I was two, and Coach Miller was just what I needed. He showed me what it was like to be a family man. We went on road trips. You know, we were my small school that I went to was here in Kansas City, but we took road trips to Texas and Oklahoma and Iowa, Western Kansas, Missouri. So all the different states surrounding the Midwest, and he brought his family with him. And he had four kids, and they went with us on the road trips. And his wife was a great example of a coach's wife and just the family man that he was, but yet he was intense on the basketball court, and he was a great practice coach. But he was also great in the games, but it wasn't, you know, he had those things that had us made us have instant respect for him. But then it was the things that he just did, being a man and a father and the example he was to us, that just kind of went a little bit deeper than just coaching. And that was what I needed in my life and what many of us guys needed. So yeah. Anyway, that's a little bit about the background that I've gone through.
That's fantastic, Gerald. Thanks for sharing that. I'm just curious, your brother coached you. How much older is Jeff than you?
So Jeff is 5 to 6 years older than me. Okay. So I was in the third grade. So he was eighth or ninth grade. And the way we did it, it was a small town community. So they would have, so he must've been a freshman in high school, because they would have high schoolers come in and coach our Carbondale Athletic Association basketball team. So
that's pretty sweet. And I know you touched on it, but the opportunity to coach your own children, that's something that I've enjoyed as well. And you're exactly right, because that can go a couple of different ways, right? You can either, you know, sometimes not you or I, of course, but coaches have shown favoritism to their own kids, which of course doesn't go well. But then it can also swing too far in the other direction, right? Where maybe we're a little bit harder on our kids just to show that, hey, there is no favoritism here. And then that can make things complicated at home. So how have you, I know you did touch on it a little bit, but maybe talk a little bit more. How did you navigate that balance? Because clearly you're not going to show favoritism to your kids. You've made that pretty clear. But then how do you make sure you're not swinging too far the other way to do the opposite, just to make a point, and then, you know, potentially do damage to your relationships with your own children?
I married very well. I married, my wife was a two sport athlete in college. In fact, the first time that I took her out, she beat me in bowling. And then our second date, she beat me in miniature golf. And yeah, I could keep going the list of things that my wife beat me in. So she's a great athlete, but she's more important than that. She's a great coach's wife, and she loves me enough to shoot me straight and to be honest with me. So if there ever were things that would come up with coaching my kids, you know, because she was at all the games very rarely. And I mean, like, five kids. So you can imagine hundreds of games over the years compiled with softball, baseball, wrestling, basketball, yeah, football. So if I ever needed some straightening out, she would. But then I always wanted to find a non dad coach that could hold me accountable also on the sidelines with me. Even when I was coaching second and third graders, if I could find that key person that just loved hanging out with kids, knew a little bit about the sport, but then could hold me accountable, that was, I always sought that as well. And those key people would help hold me accountable. Hey, Gerald, it's okay. Put Jackie in this point, you know, if it's coming down to a pressure game. And yeah. You remember Mike Arbanis, Coach Long. And this is, you know, this is going back to my early days with coaching my kids, but no, they need to learn what it's like at the end of a game when you're up six or down six in a football game and you're in the 2 minute mark. You don't have to put that stud back in the game. Just let this kid learn here. And so I had great people that I coached with and for, and I had a great wife that would also hold me accountable. So I had lots of help, lots of help.
Oh, that's awesome. And Alec, I know we've got the, you know, the questions that are, that we're going to get to about the purpose for coaching, et cetera, but I think we're hitting a lot of that here. Gerald, I've got two more for you that I'm going to kind of rapid fire your way. First of all, you mentioned Coach Miller and the huge impact that he had on you and in your life. Would it be fair to guess that you and he remained close after you were finished playing?
It's kind of like in my life, I'm a Christian, so God comes first in my life.
Yeah.
And I held Coach Miller in such high esteem that it was God up here. Sometimes I wish we weren't on Zoom. We could just see each other, but God was here. And then Coach Miller was just underneath him. That's okay. How highly I thought of him.
Sure.
So it was almost like, you know, during the playing days, I could talk with him about things and so forth. But then when the playing days were done, I kind of lost track. And some of it was just a thing of, and some of this is my upbringing with not having a dad. But with Coach Miller, it was like he was so special, so awesome. Sometimes it was like you didn't want to bother the guy because you knew he was busy with other people. And that's just where I was at the time.
Gotcha.
But two summers ago, one of my teammates got the idea together of, hey, let's get all of us players back and let's have a celebration of Coach Miller and some special things that we did. And I offered my house and let all the fellas come over because we had made a trip overseas to play basketball in the Philippines. And he coached us. And the guy was, you know, 15 years older than us, but he was still able to play and play at a high level. And so anyway, he came back for that. He made the trip back from Arkansas, where he's since gone on to win five state championships. They've put his name on the gym floor and so forth. And I didn't want to miss that opportunity. So that was the opportunity that I took to tell Coach Miller just how special he was to me.
That's cool.
And just kind of tell him similar things that I just told you guys. So yeah. I felt very good about that.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's great. When we get a chance to have those kind of conversations, those are important. Those are special. So I think that's awesome. And I'm glad that you mentioned your faith and the foundational role that plays in the work that you do. One other thing you mentioned a little bit ago, you've coached middle school sports for 31 years. Gerald, there are a lot of people in the world that would say, middle schoolers, God bless them. I'm sure glad somebody feels gifted to deal with these people because I do not. And, you know, the investment you've made in the people in our community ages 11 to 14 is uncommon. So clearly there's something special that you've got going here from a wiring or a gifting standpoint. Talk a little bit, if you would, about just how you see yourself in that role of working with middle school aged people.
Yeah. So it is my favorite age. I tried high school for 2 years and it was fun. And I'm not going to say I don't miss I coached varsity basketball, and I'm not going to say I don't miss the Tuesday and Friday nights. But I just love the middle school age. They're fun. I have them over to my house when they're with their parents. Their parents will come over. Probably once or twice a year, I'll host a family. that'll come over of some of my football players or basketball players, whatever, whoever I feel that I need to get to know a little bit better, I'll have them over and my wife will fix a meal and we'll just sit around and talk with them or play games afterwards. And then I also have my teams over. So I try to let the neighborhood know here that they're going to have about 200 people over on a Saturday. But I'll have the whole team over and I want their siblings over and I want their parents to come over. So this is just something that, it's just something about that age that I love hanging out with those kids and my wife. It's not a put up with thing. She loves having that also. And kind of our gift is hospitality. And so we'll have 150 to 200 people at our house on a Saturday for a preseason football party. And last year it was close to a 100 degree heat index. So we just sit in the shade, we play tug of war and so forth, but they're just a fun bunch to hang out with. They're squirrely acting. I still have not gotten too old that I'm not squirrely acting. And so it's just a good time to hang out with them and build relationships with their parents and so forth. So anyway, I just love middle schoolers.
Perhaps the, Alec, perhaps the understatement of the year is that Gerald and Marianne Long have the gift of hospitality. I think that's, if anything is evident today, I think that is. So, Alec, where are we going next?
Good. Well, yeah, like tell us in a sentence, can you share kind of like why you coach? Like what's really the driving you?
It might be a run-on sentence, but I'll do my best.
Okay. That's okay. We got commas. We're good.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously I have kids over to my house. I have families over. So I coach to change lives. This isn't something that I just go into lightly. This is something I'm very passionate about. So I go into this to change lives for kids. My dad passed away when I was 2. My mom remarried. My second dad lasted a year and a half. So I've had a dad for 3.5 years of my life. So I know that I have kids like that, that I coach kids like that. And if they need that influence in their lives, that's what I want to do. Boy, I'm going way over one sentence, but
no, that's all right.
I coach to change their lives and that they can know that they can make mistakes and they learn from those mistakes because they have a coach that's made mistakes and I've learned from my mistakes. So that's why I coach.
Yeah. You talked a lot about that role of a father. In your mind, like, what is the role of a father? What are the qualities? What does that mean to really fill that role in some way in a player's life, you think?
Boy, to be that constant example,
take your time.
Yeah, take your time.
For them to know I'm not leaving them. I'm going to be that steady influence for them. I'm going to be there on their Friday nights in high school. I'm going to follow them. Some of them come back to my house. I'm not leaving. I'm going to be here. They know that they can find me at school. They can come out to practice if they want to. So just to be that steady influence that's going to be there for them. So that's the main things.
No, thank you for sharing that, Gerald. That's deep. That's powerful. Really appreciate you.
Yeah. Just important. I think to you're there, you're watching them, you're celebrating them. You're wanting, like what I hear in what you're saying is like a father, someone who unselfishly, faithfully, consistently wants the best for you, you know? And that's what I hear from you is like, you really want the very best for every single kid that you coach. And you're like committed to faithfully stay there and be present and to push them in that direction, you know?
Yeah. You know, something I just thought of, Gerald, a lot of coaches, and if this sounds judgmental, I only sort of mean it in a judgmental way, but you hear a lot of people leading sports programs toss the word family around pretty casually. This is a family. And I don't even know that I've heard you use the word family here in our conversation today, but wow, just what you're describing, what you're living, what you've been living now for decades embodies family in a way that is so far above and beyond, so uncommon and so admirable. So thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for doing that more than anything. You know, we talk about how, you know, in this Coach of the Year process, obviously we've got multiple finalists. There's only going to be one at the end of the day who's named Coach of the Year. But we know that, you know, we're looking for women and men who are out there making our city a better place. And, gosh, what you've described here is just, so in the sweet spot of what we're talking about. We couldn't, I don't know that we could describe it a whole lot better. So thanks for that. Alec, we got one or two more questions. I know.
Yeah. What, you know, we asked this question, like, what advice would you give to young coaches? But I'm curious, what advice would you give to a coach that actually has been coaching a long time, but they really want to have a lasting legacy impact? What do you think actually, what advice do you have for that coach who's maybe in the thick of it? They've been doing it for years and, you know, what do they need to keep in mind?
So a couple things on that. One does deal with the X's and O's a little bit. I try to go pick out somewhere, either being under a coach or at a coaching clinic or just going sitting at a practice of someone that has more knowledge than me and just seeing how they're doing things, learning a new offense, learning how to coach man-to-man defense better, learning how to coach corners and safeties better, because that's a weakness of mine. Just to get myself better so that I'm always relevant with the kids. I always want to be new things. I want to be on top of those things so that, you know, kids can, they can read you and they're going to know if you know what you're talking about. So I've got to be relevant and I've got to be up on my game. But then the second thing is, as kids have changed, obviously, and we have to pursue kids. We have to pursue kids in my own school. Even though I'm at a public school and I've got a K-5 school attached to my school and they feed into my school, and I have one of my longtime assistants, he hasn't been with us for 2 years because his son's going through middle school now in Olathe. But I've got them. But even though I have them, we have to pursue kids. We have to get out and watch them in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. We need to be out in the community watching them. And that's probably been something that has helped me build trust in my community more than anything, is not just me, but my young assistants. And I have to say young assistants because on my coaching staff in football, we can have 4 coaches. And I like to have somebody older than me and then 2 people younger than me. I can't find anybody younger or older than me anymore. I am the old guy. So that's getting a lot more difficult. But bringing our whole coaching staff to go watch the 7th graders play football, bringing them to watch the 6th graders play football, and not just football, because then as the football coach, you're just showing interest in football. But going and watching all my school kids, I've been to the Nutcracker to go watch a ballerina. So you involve yourself in the community and you get out there and you hang with kids because you've got to pursue them. And it's not just coaching and just football, even though this is a coaching thing here, it's just about being a community person and really wanting to get involved out there and seeing kids and knowing that you're interested in them and that, yeah, the football coach is interested in a gymnast and the track coach sees something that you as a gymnast could help on the track team. Sure. Yeah. But let's come out and let's have a great time after school and do this. And then even if they don't decide to do those activities or those sports with me, they know that you're interested in them. They've got somebody else besides mom, dad, that's interested in their lives and what they're doing. So anyway, get involved in the community, get out there and get busy.
Yeah, it's great.
Great.
Well, Ryan, you want to ask that last question for us?
Yeah, and I feel like it's already been answered probably 10 different ways, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just to see basically, Gerald, if you have any additional final thoughts. But the way that we form this question, pose this question is, how would you describe the difference between transactional coaching and transformational coaching? When you hear those terms, what's your reaction?
Well, I'm not, you know, I think you can probably see from things I've shared, I'm not in this for the short term. This is what I do. This is what's ingrained in me. I love coaching and I love the influence that coaches can have. So I'm not into it for the short term. I'm in this to transform kids' lives. If they'll allow me to do that, I'm going to keep pursuing them and keep pursuing them and keep pursuing them. So that if they do need to come back to me, and talk with me about things other than athletics, whatever it is, they know that I'm there for them. And that doesn't just mean football, and that doesn't mean just track, but whatever it is that's troubling them. And that's just another reason why I really love middle school. They're not so far that you can't reach them, and not that you can't reach high school kids. It's just, I feel my best opportunities with middle school kids. And so just being there for the long term, and even after their middle school days are done, they know that they've got someone they can come back and talk to and ask for a job reference or a military reference down the road or whatever it is. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. All right. Yeah. Well, that was the final question. And I kind of did this in the middle of our time, but I'm going to go ahead and restate the thank you portion, Gerald, because, you know, we are looking to highlight and celebrate coaches who are making a difference, who are using sports as a tool to transform lives, and in doing so, making our community a better place. And there is, boy, it's just about as obvious as it could be that's who you are and what you do and what God's called you to. So thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you again for being part of the class of 2024 for Metro KC Coach of the Year. Looking forward to seeing you at the celebration here in another month and a half or so. And we will stay in touch between now and then.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. If you want to learn more about Community for Coaches or our guest, you can check the show notes. I'll put some links in there to our website and contact info. And until next time, keep coaching with purpose.